episode of Off Topic. In today's episode, we talk about careers and the job application process. We thought it'd be good to get someone in who could give us another perspective because we're still like struggling. So we invited Jo. Jo is a student at Nottingham who also has a podcast. It's called Insights. And the podcast is all about careers, and it's through the Nottingham Entrepreneurship Society.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a really good one. He interviews different people from the careers team at Nottingham.
Yeah.
So it's one to check out. Yeah, what do we talk about, Shreya?
So I think Jo was really good to introduce us to some different routes into a career. Mm. I think he was really good to speak to because he wasn't so focused on grad schemes. It feels like everybody else in the world is just so obsessed with grad schemes. And he gave us some good tips about, you know, being resourceful and going and contacting people if you like what they do. Maybe try and ask for a 1 week, 2 week internship over the Easter break or something like that. So he gave us some good different options, and keep tuned in for Jo talking. Yeah. I feel like we did chat quite a lot before we let him get a word in, but it was really nice to speak to him. And go check out his Insight podcast. I think if you just go on to Nottingham Entrepreneurs Facebook page, you can find it there.
Yeah. When you came to uni, and did that affect your like choice of degree, choice of uni?
Okay, so I'd be psychology.
Okay, yeah.
And I, within about 2 months of lectures, I knew. Well, I nearly changed degree.
Did you? What did you change? What
I
did
nearly you want changed to- degrees. I wanted. I realised I preferred business and like economics. And like, I'm now my third year. And obviously, like, I picked like my dissertation's on behavioural economics. So I'm doing everything I can to like bridge the gap. But retrospectively, I probably should have switched.
Yeah.
But like, when
do you enjoy your degree?
Yeah, so I do enjoy psychology. It is interesting, but I think as exams have gone on, I've realised like all my strengths are and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, maybe it's not exams and stuff like that. But that's why, you know, I'm very interested in like, entrepreneurship and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have obviously like been dropouts or gone onto an idea, and being tied up for 3 years, it's kind of made me think like, I'm not really sure. But you can, it's good at university, you can always pick modules and stuff like that and do stuff out
exactly
of
you can steer it in your own direction.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you said, with your dissertation it's focused on behavioural economics, and you can bring that up, be like in your job interviews, tell them about your research, show them some graphs. But when you started uni, what sort of jobs were you thinking of going into afterwards?
So I was thinking of like almost like the go-to ones, like human resources, or like, I know it's quite cliche, but like I think I'm a people's person. I like people, so them sort of jobs. And psychology, you typically, it's either like clinical psychology or like human resources.
Yeah.
So being around people, so that's like all I knew was human resources, basically.
Yeah.
But then, I'm not sure if that's what it is now, but...
Yeah.
You seemed a lot more clued up than when I came to uni, because I had no idea. I still... Nothing has changed, basically. But I came in, I thought... I thought politics would be quite... interesting. I'm just interested in it, so that's why I took it. And then I liked French at school, so that's why I do French and politics. But I did sort of think, okay, I have some time to work out what I want to do. This degree will give me quite a few options. I'll get to go abroad. I think the biggest thing for me was like, I just thought I'll get loads of like, through all the extracurricular stuff you get to do at uni, I thought like that's gonna help my degree, like my CV, more than the degree itself. So I was like, I'll just do something that I enjoy, and I'm glad I do my degree because I really enjoy it. But really is like pushing it. I enjoyed it in, like, first year, I sort of thought like, because I really like writing and I do like Impact, and I got to do Her Campus, and obviously I'm doing this now, and
Block you are
Block Sock.
Let's just plug all my that was really like what I valued more out of uni, more than the degree itself.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll talk about that more to like job prospects and stuff like that? Do you think?
For me, definitely, just because I'm not pursuing I'm not trying to be like an interpreter or a translator. So I mean, a French degree is always helpful, I guess. Some of them aren't like linked to languages, but they just want a language for some reason. Like, so it helps. But I do think that all the stuff I've done, or like the internships I've done, I find myself putting them more in the forefront of my CV more than my degree. Yeah. It depends on the job, because but a lot of the time they're looking more for like skills and not necessarily your degree. Like, there's only one job I've ever had to like list modules I thought might be relevant to the job.
I've never had to do that.
Yeah, it was just it was literally one job. So yeah,
because I was thinking about this at the weekend, because I had a family friend rang me, and she's I think about 16, she's doing her GCSEs now, and she needs to choose her A-levels.
Oh,
and she was stressing out. And I was
really
like,
oh my god,
no, you don't know half of it, it's fine,
you literally just pick like
what you like, pick what you like. I said the only thing that you need to consider is if you wanted to become a doctor, then you'd need to do your three sciences. She rang me, she was kind of thinking about going into medicine, wasn't sure if she was in it. Then she rang me last week talking about, oh, maybe I want to do consultancy. I was like, when I was 16, I didn't know what consultancy was.
I found out like a month ago.
Exactly. Like, and she was saying, you know, if I do economics, do I have to do maths? Do I have to do some like pattern of subjects?
The answer is no.
And like, exactly. And I was like, the work, like, so much time is ahead of you. Just
literally.
Do what you like. And don't stress yourself out.
It's so funny as well that you overthink what you think universities want.
Yeah.
And then, so my parents are both academics, and my mum was like, she was doing an international development lecture, and she was like, it was first years, and she was like, some of them don't even know what international development is. And I'm like, how did they write a personal statement? Like, how, like, do you know what I mean? Like, when I was, I thought I had to read books and like write about them. Yeah. I think we just overthink it, but you need to just take like,
it's every stage we overthink it, don't we?
Like, yeah.
You think you won't get into secondary school, you think you won't get into sixth form. That personal statement, that was massive at the time.
That was such a big deal. And I look back and mine was so bad, because I talked about wanting to do like basic, I'm so indecisive. I applied for like three different degrees and it was so clear. like I was like, I'm interested in this. I applied for like straight English in one uni, got in.
So you
like
covered all bases in one.
I kid you not. It's literally like, it's like what not to do in a personal statement.
That's impressive though.
I did. I'm so surprised I got like five offers, but it just shows that they're not, the standards aren't high.
That's probably true.
I don't think it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters what you write.
As long as you write.
I think as long as you write something, because they're filling quotas, aren't they? They need this many people on that course.
They need your money. They actually need you more
need
than
your money.
You need them.
Like, they need like some people from your background, some people from like disadvantaged areas, or from a family
that actually helps. Being black was a pro. Like,
exactly. Using the ethnicity to your advantage. That's what I did as well. You know, you've got to use what's at your disposal. But I just think there's so much emphasis on it at school that you've got. Well, at my school, we had to like draft the personal statement, rewrite it until we had the final approval from head of sixth.
We had that, and I was scared because I knew, so I just sort of bypassed people a little. And my parents thought it was fine, they were like, just send it. But it's just interesting because I have a younger brother, and he just has just sent off his uni applications. And I was like, you can't write a personal statement with, like, now I know what not to do.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's still not that big of a, like, his personal statement was really good. And he was still stressing about it. And I was just like, I don't think it really matters.
No, I don't think it matters.
What do you think unis are actually looking for?
I don't know how much, what age is personal statements getting? That's 16?
That's 17.
17. So not many people would be in work, would they? So is it mainly academic grade?
I think it is.
Extracurricular.
I think it is. I think it's like your GCSEs and your A-levels just like proving that. Did you make a big deal about going to Russell Group Unis and then got here and had different opinions?
I don't know what I really expected, because I went into it quite blind. Like, I went to visit Nottingham, the campus, once before I got here, and I think I stayed for like less than an hour.
I didn't do the other day.
Yeah, like, I was being so lazy. I thought, you know, I'm not going to make my mum drive, so we're going to go on the train. I did Nottingham and Sheffield in one day.
Oh, and wow. Back
to so, yeah, wow. I literally zipped in, Trent Building, hello, look at Broadgate Park, done, on the train, Sheffield. That was it.
That's brilliant.
And I saw about, I don't know, a hundredth of the university. I didn't see anything.
And I don't think it matters.
Yeah. That I didn't go to any big talks, didn't neither any did lectures.
I. Not on, I don't know if I planned to. I went to one open day and I didn't like it.
I think that's
and then I just never.
When I got here, it was so much better than I expected because I didn't have any expectations.
So everyone should do.
Exactly.
It's literally just going blind.
If you have no expectations, it's so much better. And then because I went to Sheffield that day, I actually on that day preferred Sheffield. I don't know if it was because it was dark outside and I couldn't see
anything. I was torn between the two but didn't go to either.
Oh.
Stupid. So I was like, oh, I don't know. But then I really don't know because I didn't go. And I
don't like people telling me what to do, but my mum isn't very pushy, but she was like, did you really prefer Sheffield? She was like, I really like Nottingham, so green. And yeah. I was like, who wants green? And then I started to realise, here we like, are. Actually,
I do want green.
Like, but, yeah, no, I do think people do make a big deal out of Russell Group.
And I feel like the teaching is kind... Obviously, I have nothing to compare it to. And I do... There are some lectures where I'm like, this is like top quality, but they are far. Oh my gosh, do you clap for, we were talking about this, do you clap for lecturers?
No.
Okay, never. So we do in like, we did in first year,
very very rare occasions.
No, that was one module we clapped every week, I'm not kidding, but the lectures were so good.
Was it the
good.
David Gill one?
Yeah, it was David Gill.
Some of these were banging. Honestly, we did something about like the doomsday clock.
They and just like, made
the end of the world, and it was so good.
I don't even like IR, and I like they just made everything so exciting,
dramatic.
Yeah, dramatic. Yeah. They had good names. They didn't like really go into in depth on anything.
Yeah,
but they just like spruced it up.
It was
and,
topical.
Like,
it was art. Oh, it was great.
We don't clap. It's so awkward.
Really? Do they wait for it?
Come on, guys.
It's like 2 hours, and the second it's the last couple of slides, everyone knows. Everyone starts packing up.
Oh.
And then when advice to lecturers is do not say the word summary on the last slide, because the second everyone sees the word summary, everyone's
they're
off.
Going home. Gone. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just feels rude. And then you're just like, thank you very much, and then like completely go through the last bit.
Oh.
And like terms and conditions on the radio or something like that, like talking so fast, and then everyone just goes, and it just feels like.
Ah, that's good.
Oh. They just show up, do the job, and go. It's a bit. And then I did a business module, and everyone was clapping, and I was like,
oh, "Yeah!"
I was like, "Wee!" Yeah, well, mate, this is great.
I've done. It's your job. I'm going to applaud you anyway.
It is good. Why do we applaud?
Yeah. Why? Let's talk about that.
So I'm paying for this.
You should be here, and you should be giving pretty good lectures. Yeah. Okay. So, do you think that being a Nottingham is going to help your career prospects?
Definitely.
Do you think so? Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, like you said, it's a Ross Group University, but I mean, I wouldn't say that explicitly in an interview, but I mean, everyone does kind of know University of Nottingham.
Yeah.
And if someone says, is that Trent or is that Uni of, then you go Uni of, and then people like you sort of.
Yeah.
It's obviously, like,
it's so cool.
It is quite cool.
I don't feel like it will. I don't think, like, I don't. Well, it's not helping me yet. So.
Yeah, it's not helping me at the moment, but.
Why isn't it helping you? What have you tried?
To be fair, how many applications
have we tried? We talk about this. But I think it gets you through the door. There are some applications where you have to select your university. Yep. And I don't know if you noticed, but not every uni is on there.
True.
We're quite fortunate. Yeah. If you... yeah, I've applied to a few where you have to select the uni. And there are only Russell Group unis on there.
Oh.
So I think it... So yeah. I think it gets you through the door.
I think they're names people know, and I think it kind of says something about you if you've gone into it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a quote when one of the career team members said, I think, what was it? I think Nottingham students are typically known by employers as being grounded and rounded.
Oh.
So we're typically good at a range of things, and then we're obviously like nice people.
Yeah, I feel like people at this uni are nice. And I think all the stuff outside of your degree, I feel like we have loads of opportunities to do stuff that you're interested in.
Yeah, definitely.
If you look,
there's so many opportunities to get onto like roles and societies and stuff.
Yeah,
like, I think I've given psychology a bad rep. I do. It's very interesting. Okay. Anybody who wants to do psychology is very interesting. But I've just got to the point where I just disagree with exams and the whole system. That's another thing. That's another topic.
Yeah.
But psychology is very interesting. And then, but again, like you were saying, like I think in any interview I talk about stuff where I've actually gone out and done something.
Yeah.
Like you said, you've obviously founded like a podcast. Like they would love that on the, like an interview.
Yeah.
Or your CV. Like
trainees.
I do think though, there's so many opportunities here that you don't really think about until you really like need them. And I wish that I'd taken some of these opportunities earlier on.
Such as?
Well, so obviously I'm doing this now. I could have started this in first year.
Yeah.
Why didn't I do it then? And then also I do some work for a great charity called Copperfield. Oh, we're raising breast cancer awareness on campus. And like met some really lovely girls through that who are also on the committee. Why didn't I do it earlier?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Because what was I doing in first and second year?
First year flies. I don't know what I did in first year.
No one knows what they did in first year.
I actually did quite a few societies in first year. I was a bit eager, you know. But I didn't do much uni work.
Oh, I was too keen on just, like, going out.
Yeah.
That's the thing, the whole social side, freshers last about 4 months.
Yeah.
My tutor didn't know my name, but, like, by the end of the year, I went to a tutor meeting, he was like, "You meant to be here?" I was like, yeah.
I am a student.
And I don't know what I was doing, but I guess it's retrospective though, isn't it? I think
it's,
you can focus on the fact that you're doing it now. But
exactly.
But advice.
At least you did it. How many people have a podcast? Not many. Exactly.
But to any freshers, like, hopefully they could hear this and be like, I need to get on it.
Just do it straight away.
Yeah, especially because you can in first year. Like, now I'm, like, forcing myself to go to Blogsock stuff and I'm so stressed, like, I should be doing my dissertation.
Why wasn't I doing this while I had the time?
Exactly. Whereas, like, first year, you have nothing but time.
Yeah, exactly. You have so much time for naps. Me and my housemate were talking about we don't have time for naps anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't remember the last time I had a nap.
A nap sometimes you just switch off and it's like a nap, but oh gosh,
if there's one piece of advice, you know, take the opportunity straight away.
Yes,
definitely. As like, because I was saying to you guys, obviously I've been interviewing the careers team. I think I wanted to get across to them as like a student perspective, is everyone I know in third year now is thinking about internships, or like a couple people in second year start to think about it. But imagine if you were in first year or the start of second year.
I know people
and doing it, like, you'd be ahead.
But that's the thing, like, no one tells you that that's important, unless you have like parents who are like, you need to do this now. But no one really tells you. Unis, did anyone tell you to do an internship at uni?
Well, they always send you those emails, but do you really read them until you're in final year?
This is the thing.
I'm only paying attention now.
Yeah, my emails are like 102 or something. Just mark all as read and then go through.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
And you don't pay attention until you get to the point where you're desperate.
But
yeah, I'm reading them every single day.
Like, hire me.
I think everyone is in the same boat though. Everyone first year is just kind of finding yourself, because so many people get into second year, they're unhappy with that. Well, personally, I know some people who've been unhappy with like housing arrangements in like second year, so there always seems to be things you're going through, and like but there is so many opportunities. Obviously it'd be beneficial to be getting there early, obviously, but I don't know, do people do it? I don't know.
Well, for me, I loved my house and we got on so well.
Yeah.
And I was lucky that I didn't have that distraction.
Mm.
But at the same time, second year was just... I went out more in second year than I did in first.
Really?
For some reason, I was like, let's just have some fun. Why not? But at the same time, I don't regret any of it. No regrets.
That's good.
Do you know what? Everything will come at the right time. And I was saying, this is one of the big things I learned during my year abroad, because there was a couple of weeks where I had like... It was between semesters. I decided to study at the start and then work the second part.
Mm.
And I still couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a new flat. I was like moving between Airbnbs. And then it all just came together in a matter of days. And I was like, sometimes I was ringing my mum like, I'm never going to find a job. And then it just happens. So I've learnt from other people. Like one of my brothers, I think he applied for loads of graduate schemes when he was in final year. Like did an assessment centre, didn't get through. And then in the end had to email one of the companies that had never got back to him, like, by the way, did you ever decide on my application? They were like, oh, sorry, we let you slip through. Come in for an interview. And he got that in September. No, August, and was starting in September. So it can happen. And it's like, it's not the end of the world if you don't have something now. And I also think the internship thing is such a good point. Like, we don't know what we want to do for the rest of our lives.
Which is why internships are great, because...
You need to try.
You exactly. can get to try it. Because when you sign up for a grad scheme now, it's for what, like 3 years?
Yeah. And that's a big commitment.
That is a big commitment if you hate it. And I already know
people who have left their grad schemes.
And it doesn't look good to leave one, does it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you think, what do you make of the whole graduate scheme system?
Yeah, and the way that everybody puts it on a pedestal.
And the actual thing itself of, like, having, what, a numerical test, logical reasoning.
Yeah.
So there's Unilever do, like, games. And they're, like, they're called neuroscience games, and more companies are going to incorporate that. What do you make of the whole system?
Well, I think it's a good system, but personally, I disagree. I personally won't be going for grad school, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because I think it doesn't completely represent who you are as a person. Like, it's a very competitive psychometric test you might have to do, so you might have to apply for it. Then that's the first night. Then you got to get an interview, maybe a group interview. You might have to go to London or somewhere else. All these things, like, there's so much luck involved, like, on the day when the questions are asked. Like, I just think, and the same thing, like, personally, I'm always, like, want to look like the different route, because I think, like, it's kind of two things you need to do to get a job or, like, something else, like a role. Like, you need to get someone's attention and you need to, like, impress them. So for a grad scheme, to actually get to the end is so much harder.
Yeah.
Just to talk to, like, the business owner or, like, the CEO or the person who could actually offer you a job. But there's so many other ways where you could go to an event, you could meet, you know, find yourself face to face with a person who could offer you a job.
Yeah.
Impress them in different ways. I just think there's so many different ways to do it.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at grad schemes.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily.
Yeah. You could be the best for that job and you won't get it because on the day you're ill or on the day you're unlucky, you got there a bit later, they didn't like that. A psychometric test, maybe you were, your math skills are like, maybe you're not good at maths, maybe the maths isn't important in it, but they're just trying to find some ideal candidate.
That's okay, that's my thing, because I don't think that any of those tests are helpful. The logical reasoning, where it's like they have like shapes, I'm literally there like turning my laptop like, what is the pattern? I don't know, I'm too slow. I just don't think that I don't know what they're trying to test,
and I think that people are kind of like coerced into thinking, you know, a grad scheme is for me, and so many people that have no interest in a certain area thinking, you know, well, maybe I'll do finance, that'll be fun. But I don't really have any care for it at all, because you only get found out when you get to speak to someone, and then you've wasted your time, probably wasted other people's time. I know that it's difficult to get people face to face early on in the process.
Yeah.
But I think the scheme system has got out of control. I have a bit of a ridiculous suggestion that I have said to people before and they've laughed. But how about we regulate the graduate job market?
Okay, explain.
We have a UCAS system for grad jobs, right? You put in your graduate personal statement.
Back to personal statement.
Yeah.
Which we've dissed.
We've dissed them, but this doesn't sound so bad.
There is no point in them. But, and then you put like 3 or 4 companies in an industry, you hedge your bets and you say, I want to do this industry, blah, blah, blah. And then you go for it. Do you think that's a good idea?
You joke, but that's so much better. Because the thing with grad schemes at the moment is you don't really get to... They don't want to see your CV.
No.
They just want you to pass the test to get... To do... And then, like, so outperform everyone in, like, a group interview situation.
Yeah.
So they don't actually know, like, your... They don't care about your motivations for the... I don't think so until, like, maybe the very end.
Yeah.
But if you've got that far and you ace the group interview, and maybe you're not that passionate, but you're like, you aced all their tests, you'll probably get hired.
That is so demoralising
if
you actually genuinely have some sort of passion for that role.
Yeah.
And somebody who's just ticked all the boxes that they thought are, I need to fulfil this, and they've got in ahead of you, that makes you feel like, oh, well, I've done this for nothing.
Exactly. And I think grad schemes at the moment, I think they work well for some... It depends on the type of jobs. I think it works well for jobs in finance.
You mentioned Unilever. So it seems to be... Well, it's the big corporate companies.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
the top five businesses in their area, something like that. Mm. And then personally, I just think for these big companies, you're going to be a small, it's like a big, was it a big fish in a small pond? Like, I'd rather be, I think it's very important for us, like coming out of university, to kind of be like a big fish in a smaller pond.
Yeah.
Have more responsibility. Like, you're not just be a cog in a wheel of like some billion, you know, massive company.
Yeah.
And have one set role. Because if you go to a smaller company, you can do a lot more. And it is, I think, more about action when you're coming out of university.
I think my thing is, but I think that my whole thing for applying for grad schemes is I think that you learn quite a lot when you're kind of just a small, what's the analogy?
I don't know, I just made it up. It sounded cool.
No, I think that's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Fish in a big pond, big fish in a small pond.
Yeah, I think that you learn quite a lot.
Yeah, because you are given so much, like, little work, little tasks. You get all of that stuff delegated.
You work till 10.
All of that stuff delegated to you that you have to pick things up. But I do know that one of my brothers did say to me, you know, the grads came in and they just don't know anything about anything.
That's the thing. Like,
but we don't know anything. That's the point.
By the end of this year, I'm going to be a psychologist. But what do I know about? You know, what would I? Someone said to me, "What do you know about psychology?" Like, I could tell you a few things, but you know, most of it we have to revise it and we forget about it.
Yeah, you just revise for the exam and then you forget about it. And if I find it interesting, I might remember.
Yeah,
exactly. But that's the thing.
Even with politics, people come up to you and be like, "So, do you want to be a politician?"
Oh, I hate that question. It makes me cringe.
And they'll ask me the most random technical, like, parliamentary questions.
And I'm like,
I don't study parliamentary studies.
See,
so
I find it, Europe's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Anything outside of that. Okay. But that's the thing. You just, I just find European politics more interesting than...
Fair.
But that's the thing. You only get, like, you're not that specialised even in your degree.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Exactly.
Even in the language that you can go through uni... not really speaking the language that you study.
There are so many people that don't go to their...
It's a choice.
That just get away with it. Just coast. They'll be fine.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily... You don't leave being, like... You're not ready to... Even if you want to do, like, translation. Because I know someone who's going to do a translation degree. But, like, you're not fluent in the language even when you're at that stage. You're not actually, like, that qualified.
Yeah. You're not an expert at all, no. And I think there's so much pressure when you go out, like, any degree, when you leave, to go into a grad scheme that people are like, yeah, I really want to do this. I really, really want to do this.
You make yourself... I was reading one yesterday and I was like, I could do consulting.
And then people get all the way in, they get to September, they sit at their desk and they realise, oh God, I really don't like this.
I think I just want to be employed.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to be employed. And one of my friends, she said to me, do not do that to yourself. Don't force yourself, because she's just quit her grad scheme. Luckily, she's moving straight into another job.
Mm.
But she said it was awful. She was doing a finance grad scheme for a big retail company. And she was like, I was paying bills, like, I was getting bills in for some of their stores and just, like, paying them. And that was kind of just it. And the team wasn't great and the management. And she said she was studying for a qualification at the same time and it just wasn't what she had thought, I don't think.
Yeah.
And surely it's better to give yourself a bit of time, do a couple of internships, rather than get in and then get out so quickly within less than, 6 months or something.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if you could do, like, an internship for the grad scheme or, like, for that company before, but, like, that's, if people are leaving early, then we never get to meet the people in the company. We get all the, go through all these tests, but what if we don't like the people? Like, all these things can have such an impact.
That's so true. They're just trying to work out if they want to work with us, but do I want to work with you?
Do you want to work with them? And then the first week, you've gone through all that, and then you don't do it. But that's, like, an internship, or not just internship, just doing unpaid work for 2 weeks, volunteering. You can actually get a taste of the work, and that's, like, if you don't know what you're going to do, if you're going to go into a 3-year grad scheme and you're not sure about the commitment, some people love that, like, but if you're not sure, then you need to test it out, because...
Yeah.
And some people, I've seen, like, I've applied for a few where it's, like, well, two, where it's, like...
That is a few.
Yeah, technically it's more than one. Where it's sort of like, it's like a placement for 10 weeks, and then if you... do well at the end of the placement, then they offer you a grad scheme for 2019, and I think that's quite good as well, because you get to work there for 10 weeks as if you're like working there full time.
Yeah.
And then you get a taste of it and they could give you a placement, but you can say no.
Yeah. So then you know after 10 weeks for yourself, and then that's also on your CV is 10 weeks.
Exactly.
Which is like perfect. It's not, it's time well spent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because if not, then you're signing up to a 3-year grad scheme.
I just think it's so competitive. But
it's so competitive.
One of my friends is industrial economics.
Yeah.
Shout out. I won't say his name. But
say it.
Else it's not a shout out.
Alex Francis.
Okay, cool.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
First and second year, I don't know if this is right, but he got some like top award for being like one of the best grades in his top course.
Yeah.
But then he, second year, start of third year, was like, I can't get work. Doing internships, getting to the end of these grad schemes, and then he didn't get it. And then we were literally like, well, how can we, you know, other ways of doing internships? And then we literally, like, we come from the same sort of area, so we literally typed in, we come from, like, St. Neots.
Mm-hmm.
So typed in, he wanted to work in finance, which typed in on Google, St. Neots Finance. Got a list of, like, the 10 companies, and, like, it was, like, Cambridge and areas like that. Literally got all the contact details, and just thought, right, let's do it this way. Emailed, like, 10 or 15 people directly. Went on LinkedIn, found out, like, who were the people who would be interviewing me, like, and stuff like that.
That's
so, like,
so good.
Grad scheme wasn't working, it's too competitive. Not from his fault, he's clearly capable.
Yeah.
These are the people, like, the other way. Because when we're in this bubble of, like, we're university students, like, when, not everyone is, like, when, then these, he was sending emails to people, and they're like, I've got a University of Nottingham student with this award coming to me. They snapped them up straight away. So it's not just grad schemes, because, like, it's not suited for everyone. Like,
no.
That's so true. Oh,
there's other ways of doing it. So if you're having no success in that, do not take it personally. But obviously, unfortunately, like, our system makes people think, like, oh, it's a failure.
Yeah.
If you're in the back of a train from, like, London or somewhere, you've just failed, you know, you've got to tell everyone, you feel terrible, don't you?
Yeah.
But and it's that's not what we tell each other, isn't it? Because it can get quite, like, secretive, competitive.
It does get secretive. People, like, one of my very good friends just randomly told me he got into, like, an assessment centre, and I was like, I even know you were, like, applying for jobs, but, like, no one will say.
Yeah, because you don't want to admit that you maybe failed. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so... Anyway, do you think that... So, I listened to this podcast called Control-Alt-Delete. You should definitely listen. It's one of my favourites. With Emma Gannon. And she sort
of... What's her name?
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah.
Related.
Ugh. Then I have to ask her.
She sort of talks about how she thinks that young people now are creating jobs for themselves, and, like, sort of becoming, like, more people are going towards being, like, self-employed. Do you think that's true? And also, do you see the, like, benefits, disadvantages of that?
I wouldn't say that I've noticed that many of my cohort that have just
left. I don't know people around me, but I look at, like, for example, online, like, especially in blogging, there are so many people in blogging who start off, like, working, like, they'll just blog for a hobby, then they take it a bit more seriously, but they're still working as well, and then they sort of turn it into a business.
They make it their business,
and then they leave. You can't do blogging, like, you can't just, like, have the blog on its own and make money from it.
Yeah.
So you really do have to, like, turn it into a business.
You've got to put a lot into it.
Yeah. But do you think more people are going to do that in the future?
I feel like it's going to happen because I think the startup culture is maybe where, like, future graduates should be heading.
Yes.
I think there's so much more chance for progression. Of course they'll expect a lot of you because they'll say, you know, you need to be experienced in this and be able to do it from day one. But if you're doing it from day one and you've got responsibility, then imagine how much you're going to develop versus having not so much to do.
Yeah.
And also it's filling the gaps where you think that a business is needed. If you've got a bright idea, nowadays you can start it.
So
I think that may be what we see people going into. But also, a lot of my friends who graduated last summer aren't in a job through their own choice. Like, they may have applied for one or two and then thought, do you know what, I'm gonna go travel. A couple of my friends working on ski resorts. One going to go off to Thailand next month. One's just gone to South America. Like, it's not really, well, from their perspective, it's not a big deal to have a break in your CV, to have that time between uni and the first job. I don't know how employers see it. I'm not sure. But
I think having a break in your CV?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, a lot of people obviously, like, I think coming out of university the first year, but you don't know what the next year is going to be. Like, if it's primary school, you know, going to secondary school, you know, sixth form. This is the first time where it's open for us. And when you're a student, you have, like, the safety net of, like, student loans and stuff like that. And all of these opportunities. But I definitely think, like, obviously the world's becoming more, like, globalised with, like, social media and stuff. I think definitely people are more leaning towards being freelancers and stuff because I think there's more opportunities, like, blogging. You can, like, go on WordPress, you know, Blogger, like, and tweet your blog straight away, and if you can constantly do it, that can become a job because of advertising, stuff like that.
Yeah, and you don't need to go to uni, and you can...
Yeah, exactly. And with, like, with social media, we are... It might be an illusion because typically the people we are seeing on social media, on like your Instagrams, people you are following are typically successful people. So you will be following the people who are successful, which might be an illusion, the fact that people are being more freelancers, but are you only looking at them, sort of thing? Because would your friends who started the blog and didn't go anywhere, would he talk about it? Or she would talk about it? So, you know, you are only seeing people who are successful, but I do think it's definitely... I personally would want to have my own business one day. Like, I know that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I definitely want to work for myself. Mm. I just think there's so much, well, obviously more freedom in it. I get that when you're freelance, you end up having to work a lot more. But I actually think it's really empowering to work for yourself.
Yeah.
Sort of create your own opportunities when you can't find them.
Yeah. And we've got, like, however many years ahead of us. It's just the thing, like, for me, personal dilemma is kind of like to freelance or to do something, whether this is going to be, you do need to obviously have a bit of experience.
Yeah.
To sell something and make money from something, you do need to have known your stuff.
Mm.
But that can be an interest. Like, I think everyone should be following their interests and their strengths. And do you want to work for someone else and just pick up your wage at the end of the day?
Yeah.
For the rest of your life and not be happy? Like, if you're happy in your job, that's great.
Yeah.
But if people, like me personally, I don't think I would be happy doing a job that I don't like. And I think... previous generations are kind of different than that. I think we are quite our generation are quite more adventurous.
I think we have to be, because I think we have to, because I think it's so much harder now for us than it was before. If you just look at, it's like, for example, with I'll just give the example of the BBC, how they were talking about there was some, I think it was Dev from Radio 1,
mm-hmm.
who was like, when I was applying for jobs, like, you can just, like, walk into the BBC and they were just more than happy to have interns.
Yeah.
Which is how he got his job, because he he just asked, basically.
It does work.
Wow. Yeah.
It does work.
Actually, Philip the BBC... Schofield said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said that he kept sending letters until they responded.
He was like, you could just, like, all the people, he was like, the people around me were just people who'd asked to have an internship or, like, a job, like, in radio, and there just wasn't that much interest. Like, getting a job at the BBC now is, they don't even advertise them. Like, it is literally,
it's, can't imagine.
Yeah, like,
for companies like the BBC, I think that, yeah, it would be very hard. You would have to go down a set route. But I think
it is harder for us now, and I think people are becoming more creative in how we get
to,
up.
Yeah. We have to be. Yeah. We literally have to be. So you guys haven't heard of Social Chain, have you?
No.
Okay. There's a CEO called Stephen Bartlett. Like, I would definitely recommend you guys look at him, Stephen Bartlett, and, like, Social Chain. He talks about all of this. So he was dropped out of university and he had a business idea and he was like, I need investors. And then he said the common problem was, well, investors, you know, they're obviously very rich people. They're very busy. How can I get to investors? You know, an email will not be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought, right, I need to do this a different way. Like he said about, like, if you do keep emailing someone, they might end up replying, but typically it's a PA or someone. So that email can just get put away. But what he did was he bought loads of gold envelopes and he handwrote loads of letters.
I love that.
And then he just sent gold envelopes to people. And then what he said was, well, if you got in the post a gold envelope, I think you've won something. So you push all the other posts away. And then the investors obviously read what he had to say. Going back to, like, first you need attention and then you need to, like, execute it and impress someone. So he got their attention. And clearly he was good enough. His business idea was good enough.
Yeah.
But his email was just always at the bottom. So, like... And then he managed to get investment from it. So it's being
so
different.
Good. That's actually how I got one of my internships.
Really?
My mum was like, why don't you just go to the office and ask?
Yeah.
And I went. And like, they had a system in place to apply. This was at a political campaign office. There is, like, a form. But I just walked in. And they were like, sure. Like,
why not?
Do you want to start next week? Like, this is what you'll be doing. Like, sometimes it is... a case of, I do agree with that, like, and I've seen it with my dissertation. I've had to collect data and it's been through interviews, and the only interviews I've ever gotten are the ones where I've had to like go to the office myself and
exactly, because like if there's something you really want, you need to show that you really want it, like,
yeah,
how email is so easy nowadays, and like they will get so many emails,
yeah,
and that's too competitive, like, yeah, you're not going to stand out. We don't look at all of our emails, we said it earlier,
yeah,
so you have to think of other ways, and like if you really want that position, like is it really that much effort getting on a train and going to them personally?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it really like
long term like employment? It's yeah, not.
But you're the same as me. So my, I had two internships in the summer, and both ways I was just cheeky with it. So like yeah, there yeah, was a guy called Mark Wright who won The Apprentice like 3 years ago. Yeah, so he,
What did he?
It was the Australian guy. He had a recruitment company, I think.
It was digital marketing.
Oh, digital marketing.
Oh, okay. Australian.
Australian.
Yeah, I think, quite, like, big guy, broad guy.
Broad guy. I think, not the guy from Tower.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I did think that immediately. But, yeah, no, okay, yeah, yeah. I know.
So he did a chat at Nottingham Entrepreneurs, like, an event, and I was listening to it, and I just, like, didn't care who he was. Just like, I just liked who he, like, what he was saying. He seemed a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And then he literally, some people were saying to him, like, can I work for you? And he was just like, you can't ask me that sort of thing. So like people,
wow, people just ask.
People are just asked him.
That's like, I wouldn't ask it like that.
Yeah, like, exactly. This is the thing, and I was like, like that was a bit different. So anyway, like he mentioned during the talk that LinkedIn was the only like social media account he had. So Twitter, like now he uses Twitter, but he had someone who went on his Twitter, his Facebook.
Yeah.
LinkedIn was like his personal account.
Mm.
So I didn't have a LinkedIn account, but I thought, right, let's do this. So made an account, didn't even have like a picture or anything. Just sent him not even my CV, just like messages, like work things I'd previously done. Like volunteering, stuff like that, which yeah, kind of showed me who I was and stuff, and just sent him a message, and then 2 weeks later didn't get anything, but then he eventually replied and was like, thank you so much for, you know, messaging me, and whatever I said, you know, just, it was just enthusiasm. And then I got offered a 3-week internship in London for the number one, it's like fastest growing digital marketing agency, wow, in London.
Oh, that's my gosh.
And I had no experience, and then that went well, and then that led to another internship where, again, I was like, okay, LinkedIn's my thing. So
it's about to be my thing, let me tell you that. Like, yeah.
So I'm from a town called St. Nits, just typed in St. Nits Digital Marketing. And nowadays, we've got to think a different way. So like, I went on LinkedIn, and straight away, like so easy for us nowadays, within 10 seconds, I'd found the guy who owned this small marketing company, messaged him. He said, oh, thank you so much. He literally, he's on holiday, and he was like, this popped up on my phone, like someone's messaged me and asked, like, been so enthusiastic about my company,
yeah,
can I talk to you on the phone? Then I had a phone call, and then that led to another internship. So that's not a grad scheme or anything,
yeah,
yeah.
But like nowadays, like an email is so easy to do, but so it's is other ways, like,
yeah,
you've got to do something different,
yeah, and it shows initiative, what you've done.
It shows initiative, and that, like, if we had a business,
so good,
if I had a business and an 18-year-old came to me and was so passionate, was like, I love what you're doing. Please, can I just work, shadow you for a week?
Yeah.
But of course, like,
yeah,
spare pair of hands.
Follow
like,
me around.
Yeah, literally, I'd be like, of course, mate. And yeah, then you never know where that can go. Because that person might come in and just be the hardest work I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Or I might, you know, get everyone really love this person. Who knows? They might do really well.
Mm.
And I might want to hire that person.
Yeah.
You've got, like you were saying, like, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah,
and no, you've got to be cheeky.
I'm inspired. I'm going to start googling local businesses.
Same. Oh my god, why haven't I thought of this?
Start knocking on doors.
But yeah, because I'm very much like, I like to hide behind the email. My mum was like, you won't get a job.
Oh,
okay. You need to like, and that's true. Actually, the only part-time jobs or internships I've ever gotten are ones where I had to go there in person.
There's a reason for that, because an email, if you just pitch yourself to an email, it takes you like 10 seconds. Yeah. You're sitting there. You're not really doing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like that email might be, obviously, like you've done so much, like, that email could be the best email ever.
Yeah.
But that person just might not see it because ASOS emails are coming in or whatever.
Exactly.
It might go, you know what I mean? So you've got to go face to face with someone or do something else.
Yeah.
There's loads of examples, like some, I can't remember, somebody got a job by, you know, standing in London of a sign saying like,
hi, me.
Yeah. I think, was it on the tube as well?
Yeah, I think
or like
so.
A tube station, and it just was like a sandwich board saying hi me.
Yeah, and then
this
that
is
was,
my name.
That was like, I don't know if you've heard of Girl with No Job. She obviously has a job now.
No, she, actually, I bet you got a lot of job offers.
Yeah, but yeah, she was like, literally, she was obviously unemployed, and I think she just put it all over social media, And that's how she found her first job. And now she works for herself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and my friend got onto Twitter Moments. This was a while ago.
Oh, wow.
Basically, he started a Twitter account. And it was just his CV. And every tweet was like a line in his CV.
See, that's
he got an internship for it. And he was on Twitter Moments, which is quite cool.
That's better. Awesome. That's like clever. Like everyone would appreciate that.
Yeah.
And if you can get to Twitter Moments, you can say, right, I'm an advertiser. Like,
yeah.
You can pay me and I'll make you trend on my
He's got influence.
That's what we talk about is influence. Like, in my internship, we were all talking about micro-influencers.
Oh, yeah.
Those who have got high engagement, but not as many followers. So we're talking about the 10,000 level. Those are the ones that big brands want to capture because you don't have to pay them as much, but their audiences are really engaged.
We've got solid fans. They've got fan base.
It is a little bit ridiculous with the whole influencer culture that you've got. I don't know if you saw recently, there was a big benefit trip for a new mascara.
Oh my gosh.
They took all of these makeup bloggers to, where was it, the Maldives?
To the Maldives. It was the most incredible resort. They didn't tell them what they were going to be launching. They must have thought it was something massive.
Yeah.
And it was a mascara.
It's a new mascara, but if they're able to take all of these girls and their husbands and on this 5-star resort for a week,
it's got crazy, isn't it?
They can afford they to can pay afford them.
To pay people for a review,
because mascara doesn't pay bills.
In your circumstance, it sounds like they, you know, like you'll see influencers get given a watch and they'd be like, take a picture for a watch.
Yeah.
It seems to be, it's the same like system for you, but obviously like they're paying a lot of value on the fact that you'd want that book.
Yeah.
But you might not want to read that book. But
you might not care at
all. I literally start books. I started one recently and I was like, I don't want to finish this. This is really boring. But like, I don't have to give them back a review. But the thing is, like, it takes time to read a book. It's so different to just trying out a mascara.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
and you can make a very uninformed decision about mascara. You can put it on once and be like, I hate it.
Yeah.
Done.
Actually, if you sent me to the Maldives, I will say your mascara is nice.
Yeah, like, I love it. It's the best thing ever. Yeah. Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I saw...
You should have seen Patricia.
No, but I saw firsthand in my job on my year abroad that people will do anything for some followers, for some engagement, whatever. We were like orchestrating all of this stuff.
If it's your job, you will.
Yeah, it was our job to like make it look like this celebrity was doing something. She didn't do anything. She didn't. And then the fans started to notice she wasn't doing, and they'd be like, Kim, why aren't you, like, either why aren't you in this video, or why aren't you doing your makeup yourself? You're getting someone else to do it for you. And people aren't stupid.
Ah, good chats.
I'm trying that bit out.
I do feel quite like inspired.
Just
go out there and do it.
I think I'm gonna try your LinkedIn thing.
That is a good idea, because I spent an evening with one of my friends just stalking everyone that we knew on LinkedIn on the private mode just to see what everyone was up to.
Is there a private mode?
Yes.
How do you do that?
I'm not sure.
I want to stalk people, but I'm like,
you have to pay. I think it's premium.
Oh.
Is it? No, I don't think she paid.
Then they know that
you get a free trial from it, I think.
Oh, well, there was a secret setting. I'll try and find out from her what it was.
Yeah.
And we were just stalking everyone. It was making me feel a lot better that, like, lots of people were unemployed.
That's not the case. I stalk people who went to my school, and everyone has cool jobs.
Really?
Yeah. But also unemployment, though, so you got to think about it. You can't be too harsh on yourself because you're not really trying to get employment.
Exactly.
Really. You've got
That's
exams.
True.
Don't be so hard on yourself. And I never thought of like going out there and just doing it, knocking on doors or like ringing people up, but it does work. And I do, like, one of my brothers said to me, like, don't just apply to this graduate recruitment company online, ring them up. And I rang them up today and they were so helpful.
Really?
And you just need to like trust that these people actually have, yeah, and they have so much stuff to do that they're not gonna get back to every email in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and just be a bit more patient with it. But I might do the same with like local area. Like, I don't mind working around near where my parents live.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's all you know. I'm like, I'm sure your parents know somebody who could give you experience, or you know, like a family friend, or you got your brothers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you can, experience can come from anywhere. But like you said, it does kind of need to be relevant. But then you can always kind of like
twist
make it relevant. Well, if you have to.
If all else fails, I think we should continue the podcast once we're graduates.
No, and okay, you kid.
We make it a monetized thing.
Yes. This adverts. Is, no, because that's my thing. Like, there are people now who are just podcasters full time, and I'm like, how do they make any money? But it's through ads.
Yeah. It's like the latest thing, isn't it? Because it's like passive audio. Yeah. It's stuff that people could. Obviously, you have to be giving good content and, like, constant. Like you said, that was Emma Gannon, was it?
Emma Gannon.
Like, does she do one every day or every week?
Every week. She interviews someone every week about, like, the digital world and, like, digital careers.
She's giving, like, lots of value to you. So, yeah, if you can give value to someone and do it consistent, you could definitely make money.
This could be
it.
The next opportunity for you. You give her an email, be like, we may be related. Let's have a chat. Yeah,
I honestly, the subject would be like, I think we're related. Capital letters. Or like, I've discovered our family tree.
Oh my God, you're my sister.
Yeah, literally.
So, oh my God.
Emma, is that you? And then she'd open that email and there'd be my CV. Like,
got exactly. This is
that's the thing. Do a fun email. Someone will answer a fun email.
Yeah,
this is true.
My emails are so boring.
Capital letters might be a bit. They might think
a bit much. A bit spam.
And like you said, phone calls, because everything is going towards emails and social media.
Yeah.
If you go in person or you talk to someone you can talk to someone in person and say it's Jim, right? Let's talk to Jim, and then the second time. Next day, ring him. If it's not Jim, oh hi, I was talking to Jim yesterday about internships. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, he knows Jim. And then, like,
exactly,
that's
like,
amazing.
Like, simplified, talk to people. Because, like, on LinkedIn, you could, like, I support Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. Sorry.
I don't need to leave.
But I was like, oh, what would be really cool to do in the summer? Like, I didn't end up doing it, but because people didn't reply to me, and it's the other thing. Yeah. But I was typed in Tottenham on, like, LinkedIn, and I found straight away, like, the human resources manager. So, like, what you can do is now you know that person's name. If you then ring up and say, hi, I've been trying to contact person's name, they straight away would think, like, you're on that next level because you know something about the company, you're like in there, then she might go, oh, I'll send a personal message or something. Like, you never know. Just get someone's name, be direct. It's a lot better than like a really like long email, which they will just go like, because people who are worth your time will get thousands of emails.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very true.
I did want to actually come back to something you said earlier. Do you think that employers care if you have a gap in your CV?
I think if you've used it well, I think traveling, like being cultured and doing that, that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
But then again, on the CV, you probably need to like twist it a little bit. But then again, it's not everyone. We don't know what we want to do.
Yeah.
And like, you've got a whole lives ahead of us. Like, if it is 6 months or a year.
It's not that bad.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Especially if you've kind of like made up for it in previous, like the year before you've done work or something like that.
Yeah.
Like you could still be making money when you're going abroad, like blogging. If it was monetized.
Yeah.
You could do blogging. You could review products. You could consultancy. Yeah. There's a lot of careers you can.
It's such a buzzword. No one knows what it means.
I don't know what consultancy is.
It's so hard to explain.
But there's a lot of jobs where you could make money from being abroad.
Yeah.
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 And if you decided that, you would make money. Or you could have a job out there. So, it depends.
Depends. Oh. Well, we've been talking for an hour about careers. But do you know what? I feel optimistic. It's only February. We've got months. We've got months. We've got our whole lives.
Just twist everything in your CV.
Look, I'm literally
co-founder
of
Office. I'm surprised you haven't done this.
I just put like presenting and editing.
No, editing. Right, you need to call it producing.
Sorry.
I think you need to say that you co-founded it.
Okay, right. Literally. I've got to change all of this.
I'm just going to send you how I described
it. Yeah, sent to me.
Yeah, like. You need to make it.
Maybe I should send a CD with it as well.
Just a little,
this
like...
This is what my voice sounds like, if you want to know.
A, B, C, D.
But hello.
I did the same on LinkedIn. Like, I've done two episodes of... I called it Inside Podcast, just thought of any name.
Yeah.
I wrote founder at Inside Podcast. It's like my title on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you are the founder.
And since, I've got so much more views on my account, because I'm pretty sure people who are like recruiters type in the word founder or type in the word...
See?
Producer,
right. I'm putting it on.
You will get views. My LinkedIn is dead. I just use it to stalk people. I need to be more proactive.
Just one thing you should do, right? So anyone you've spoken to at university, add them. The whole careers team, add them. Like, I spoke to people in the first episode. What I did straight away, added them. Yeah. And you might not think it's like important now, but when you're out of university, like these people can like
they it's know all about connections.
Yeah, they set up all these employer presentations. Like they talk to these people. Like they can help you. We'll turn into alumni. Just add everyone you know.
Yeah.
Like, be a stalker. Why not?
Yeah, and drop them
stalk and add. You know, don't just stalk.
Yeah, and if there's someone at your secondary school you're friends with and they're doing something cool, message them. How can I get involved? They will literally be like, oh mate, I know you.
Yeah,
because I would actually do that for someone else.
If someone came to you and they knew you like president of blogs, oh, hi, my name is Joe, I want to start a blog, how can you help me?
Yeah,
you'd give me advice because like we've done this now.
Yeah,
so exactly. Just I don't want to say the word milk it, but like milk everything.
Yeah,
I wish I'd known you when I started my blog of 1 week and then deleted it.
Oh, did you? Why?
It was like the first week of my year abroad and I wanted to express my emotions. And I was like, do you know what? It's not how
it's so lonely when you start and you're like, I'm the only one reading this. And my parents like would never read it. I was like, it's just me.
It was a way of just getting all my frustrations out because I would go to this Erasmus office and people wouldn't listen to me. And I was like, they're still not listening, but things are going well.
That's good, though.
But update.
I said that guy, Stephen Bartlett, social sharing. Yeah. Do you remember the days where Facebook was like, had notes or something?
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he was like 16, 17 or 18, like, and he was like, had zero money. And he had a diary. So you see, like, no one read it, right? Mm. If you've still got that, in 10 years' time, say you're successful, someone might, in an interview, might be like, that might be a cool thing to show someone.
Yeah.
Like,
I've got a website just for me, like, it's got a diary.
Yeah.
And each time, like, if I've got an idea, I want to look back and, like, see the date and be like, oh, did I do it? Did I do it? Or, you can go on it every day. So, like, your diary, if it was getting your emotions out, looking back on that, it would be quite good now. But still, do you know what I mean? Like, if it's out there nowadays, like we can produce something, whether it's a blog or anything, and it's there forever.
Yeah,
a video
that's true.
Is there forever, and it might be cool to reflect one day and be like, oh I made it.
Yeah.
Right. So we're gonna start LinkedIn. We're gonna also start.
We need to do LinkedIn properly. I don't take it seriously enough.
Okay,
I just use it to stalk people.
I don't even have done the posts. I just literally use it to find people.
Wait, what are the posts?
You can put out like a status, can't you? Like.
Oh yeah.
Well, you can. If you
don't. Oh, I've seen some cringeworthy ones in my time.
Have you?
Yeah, you can fit it's like out.
So sad to be leaving this company. I've learned so much. I love all people
actually
people.
Use that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tag the people. Oh, I'm gonna miss you so much.
People use it like a real social. Like
it's kind of like the business Facebook in a way. I think.
I have a friend who. I don't know how she connected with this guy on LinkedIn, but he was basically trying to take her out on a date. over LinkedIn.
Stop.
No, but he was old, and she, at the time, I think we were maybe like 19, and she just set it up to like try and find an internship. She studies marketing, and I think this guy must have been quite old. And she was kind of playing along with it, like, oh, might come for a drink if you buy me a handbag. But it was really weird. He was like, oh, I'd
did she get an internship?
No!
Right.
She stopped talking to him when she got a bit bored, but it was a bit weird. Like, some people do go on the chirps on LinkedIn.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Wow.
You never know what opportunities lie ahead.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, that was it for our third episode. We're doing well.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Not out of the park.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Joe, for coming.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Plug your podcast.
Yeah, what is it?
Podcast called The Insight Podcast. We're going to be chatting to business owners and entrepreneurs and very soon the careers team at the university.
Nice. And where can we find it?
You can find it on